ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Sometimes these disturbances take the form of great battles in which thousands and millions of people are killed, such as happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Nevertheless, that battle was fought more or less according to religious principles, although there were some transgressions of religious principles. This verse, or this series of verses, this chapter refers to Ashwatthama acting in an irreligious way. He killed the sons of Draupadi, and actually many warriors, he killed them when they were sleeping, which is against the principles of religion. So the point being made here is that previously, even though there are so many disturbances in the material world, but how to deal with them, that was, this bell should be put up. How to deal with the disturbances, that was also managed according to religious principles. On the understanding that the whole universe works under different laws. This is theism. Theism means to recognize that there is a supreme controller who has made different laws of the universe. In the modern age, in science, there is an attempt to understand and codify. The attempt in science is to understand the laws of the universe so as to themselves take the position of the controller. Whereas theism means to see that there are so many laws of the universe and to cooperate with those laws of the universe, understanding that those laws of the universe are made by the Supreme Controller. That last night in Bhagavad Gita, we were discussing the verse, Bhuta Bhatri Tatajgayam Grasishnu Prabhavishnu Cha. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is the maintainer of all living beings. He also destroys them. So, exactly why He is doing that, why is this going on? That has to be understood, as that saying is there in modern America. We have to see the big picture. We have to see the whole situation. If you try to judge, if you try to understand just from our present vantage point, then it may seem very unfair. Just like people say, well, why do good people suffer and bad people, they seem to be enjoying? The answer is you have to see the big picture. Don't just see this small scene, but see that those who are good, they must have performed some sinful activity. And those who are bad and who are enjoying, those who are good and suffering, they must have performed some sinful activity previously. And those who are bad and apparently enjoying, it's finger-picking time, Srimad Bhagavatam points. So those who are bad, they seem to be enjoying. But actually in this material world, the so-called good people aren't good, and the bad people, good, bad, it's all different phases of the modes of material nature. Because the good people, they're good now, so they get some opportunity in the next life to enjoy. Then they exploit that and become bad people. This is how. So you have to see the big picture. Then why is Krishna, if He's so kind, why is He, He's Bhuta Bhatru, He's the maintainer of all living beings. But then why is He destroyed? That also is for the benefit of all living beings. You have to understand why these things are going on, not from our tiny point of view, considering ourselves to be the enjoyers. Why isn't God allowing you to enjoy? God is bad. Instead of thinking like that, you see that Krishna, He has our best interest, or God has our best interest in mind. Therefore, He does as He does. Similarly, we see so many people criticize it. Oh, Krishna, He told so many lies, and He told Arjuna to kill Karna in an irreligious way. But again, we have to see the big picture. That what Krishna does, even if Krishna appears to be violating religious principles, the topmost religious principle is to satisfy Krishna. And Krishna is not bound by these religious principles. He can adjust as he desires. At Kurukshetra also, Yudhishthira was told to tell a lie by Krishna. As a result, so people say, his chariot came down to the ground, which was previously, he had the opportunity, he had the facility, that his chariot would be going above the ground, just to show that he is Dharmaraj, he is the king, he is the personification of religious principles. But then after his chariot came down, so those who don't know, those who are not Dharmavit, those who are Dharmavit, who don't know the religious principles, they say that Maharaj Yudhishthira's chariot came down because he told a lie, but the actual reason is because he hesitated to follow Krishna's instruction, because he was attached to mundane morality, not seeing that all these laws of the universe, they go on under the direction of Krishna and for the purpose of satisfying Krishna. So here we see that some rules are being stated, that we should not kill a person who is pramattam. What does that mean? Neglectful is given. Mattam. Pramattam. Intoxicated. Unmattam means insane. Then what's the next thing? Suptam. Sleeping. Ashvatthama killed people who are sleeping. Balam. A young boy cannot protect himself properly. Striyam. Woman. Jaram. Food, then prapannam, one who has surrendered, viratam, virata, one who is, does not have his chariot, bhitam, one who is afraid, such people, they should not be killed. So this is a rule. Now we may say, why are the rules there? We can see with these rules, they're very good rules for fighting. This means fighting according to civilized principles. If someone's intoxicated and you kill him, that means he has no means even to defend himself. He doesn't know what's going on. Or a woman is defenseless, so she should not be killed. A young boy, similarly. So these rules, they're very, even from the viewpoint of mundane morals, they appear to be very good rules. Sometimes there are rules in Shastra which we don't understand, we may not understand also. Actually, the whole Vedic culture is very different to the modern way of life and the modern way of thinking. In the Vedic culture, the whole point of surrender to Guru, Guru not meaning only initiating Guru, but to senior people, one should be very respectful to them. So this is completely antithetical to the modern idea in which it's taught that everyone should have their own opinion, everyone should say what they like, everyone should be equal. So the Vedic injunctions are that you should surrender to a guru, or you should not even offer a verbal fight to superiors. How different is this to the modern age where the president of the country or the prime minister of the country, every day they'll have some insulting cartoon on the front page of the newspaper. No respect. If you take such a position, then superficially people will respect you, but you're also open to so much disrespect. And even though you have such a position, people don't care to follow what you say, because they think that, well, I'm just as good as anyone else. My opinion is as good as anyone else. But the Vedic injunction is that you have to follow superiors. Acharya Upasanam. One has to not only follow, one has to worship the Acharya. So this is very much against the modern way of thinking. Sometimes people in the Western countries, they used to get disturbed when they saw Prabhupada's disciples bowing down to him. They were very upset. This happened once in Seattle, that at the end of a lecture, the questions were taken. One young man was saying, well, I don't see why you should have to bow down. Prabhupada said, yes, this is your disease. This is your problem. You don't see why you have to bow down. You are forced to bow down by birth, death, old age and disease. If you don't bow down, you will fall down. and to the lower species of life. That is your problem. Again, in Paris, a public lecture was arranged for Prabhupada. They had a big Vyasa Sangha. And the students there, they were famous at that time for rioting. And they were anarchist riots. They almost overthrew the government. It was about 1968 or something. The students, they almost did it. They almost stormed the parliament buildings. Big fights. Anarchy. And so on. So they were very upset. Prabhupada, they were booing him and heckling him. Again in Australia, Prabhupada did a program, a public program with students, and they were very insulting to Prabhupada openly. He said, "Why are you sitting up there? Sitting on this big seat?" So they were disturbed by that. They don't know. The culture is that you have to bow down and accept your superior. So it doesn't seem very proper. Why should you bow down? Why should you accept the spiritual master? Why should you follow? He's just an ordinary person. He eats, he sleeps, he passes stool, he sneezes. He's just, you know, he was also born from the womb of a mother. And why should you follow that? It doesn't seem very reasonable. But the Shastric injunction is that you have to do that if you're going to make progress on the path of self-realization. So it may not seem very reasonable. But actually, if you want to make research, you can find so many different points in all the Vedic injunctions. Just like, why do we fast on Ekadashi? It just seems like some in young or educated people in India, they'll say, well, this is all superstition, some old ritual. But if you start, of course, we as Vaishnavas, we follow because Krishna is pleased with them. You say, why Krishna is pleased? He's pleased. It's not up to you to question. But even if you examine from the medical point of view, scientific point of view, there are so many different reasons due to the influence of the stars, especially the moon, on the Ekadashi day. It's very much beneficial for health to fast on that particular day. Of course, Shastra also says that if you eat grains on that day, then you eat all kinds of sins. But there are so many different reasons which may be given. But even if you don't study all these things, if you simply have faith in the Vedic directions, you will find that there's very good reasons for it. It's not simply arbitrary. There are very good reasons why the Vedic injunctions should be followed. So here we see that the discussion is going on according to religious principles. That Ashvatthama, as you see, there are contradictory religious principles here. One rule is that a person who is sinful, grossly sinful, who kills people who are sleeping, they're very, very sinful, according to Vedic injunction, he should be killed. But then there's another Vedic injunction that one should not kill a brahmana. Ashvatthama was superficially a brahmana. Apart from that, he was the son of the teacher of the Pandavas, who had given them the knowledge by which they were able to rule over the world, the knowledge of fighting. And so they were so much indebted to him. Not only that, of course, the guru, he doesn't only train in how to do things, but he trains character training. And Dronacharya, his character also, he very much influenced the Pandavas. They were all righteous people. Of course, they were coming from such a dynasty, being the sons of Pandu. They were coming in such a dynasty that it would be expected that just by their birth, by their background, they would not be expected to be rascal types. Of course, that could be said about Ashvatthama also. But by birth and by training, they were all of the topmost character. So they are very much grateful to Dronacharya And it was his son who committed this act. So then how can you kill him? The Vedic injunction is that you should kill such a sinful person. And then another Vedic injunction is you should not give any displeasure to your guru, because the guru, Dronacharya in this case, had already died. But then his wife was there, and the son is representing the father. In the absence of the father, he's considered non-different. So there were apparently contradictory religious principles. This often happens. Therefore, one has to consult guru to find out, actually, what should I do when I'm confused? We should consult. And guru will give the proper direction. And then the Vedic injunction is that having taken the direction, you should follow them. You may not understand. It's like sometimes people become confused. That why is our guru becoming angry, and why is he chastising, and why is he telling all these things? Getting angry, it seems to be like he's affected by the modes of material nature, and he's just, you know, frustrated. Even he himself was saying in the class that anger is a result of frustration caused by karma, krodha, the two things. Krodh means anger. One name for krodh is kama anuja, means the younger brother of lust. In other words, after kam, next comes krodh. When kam is not satisfied, then krodh, anger comes. And then bewilderment. All these things are described in Gita. So if we think, well, you know, this guy's just an ordinary person, and he's getting all upset, and he doesn't really know how to guide me properly. And then you become like a rudderless ship. Not only that, you become an offender. So the Vedic injunctions are, you accept guru and you follow. You may understand or may not understand. You may not understand for many years. Hari Krishna Maharaj told the story. Once he was driving in the car, listening to a lecture of Prabhupada. Prabhupada told that story, how one young man was brought up by his aunt, who was very liberal with him, let him do whatever he liked, and then he fell into bad company, became a thief, eventually he was caught and sentenced to death. His last wish, he asked, "What is your last wish?" "Bring my aunt here." So he went close to her ear, as if to whisper something in her ear, and instead bit her ear off. And said, "I'm doing this because it's your fault I'm being hanged today, because you should have instructed me what is right and what is wrong." So Hari Krishna Maharaj told, when he heard that story, this was several years after Prabhupada had departed from this world. At that time he realized why Prabhupada had always been chastising him. If you know, happen to know his history, and some devotees, I think especially Hari Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada was always chastising him, very severely. Just whatever he said, he would just smash him, practically. So Hari Krishna Maharaj, he expressed that I couldn't understand why was Prabhupada being so heavy with me all the time. Then when he heard this story, then he understood many years afterwards. So the point is that you may not understand, but still, understanding only comes by standing under. If you think, well, you know, just like they write this, you know, some story has been propagated. Prabhupada said that some story has been propagated. The Prabhupada said that I don't really know very much about deity worship because I was never trained and I never stayed in the Gauriya Math. Well, you see, some story has been written. And Prabhupada, he, sent by Krishna, established deity worship all over the world, personally showed the devotees how to worship the deities in so many ways. And someone has put out some story that Prabhupada said, "I don't know how to worship the deities properly." So someone may think like that, well, he's just an ordinary person and he wasn't really trained properly, and one of our ex-godbrothers made some statement about Prabhupada. He spoke from the heart and shot from the hip. Shot from the hip means just like in the Wild West in America, if there's some fight, then immediately someone will pull out the gun and quickly shoot immediately without hardly aiming. Because you have to do it quicker than the other. Just quick, instant reaction. He spoke from the heart means he had a lot of feeling, and he just said whatever came into his head, just like in the mode of passion. But he wasn't really in the mode of goodness, and he didn't really know the philosophy very deeply. He just spoke from the heart. This is one of our illustrious ex-incarnations has made such a statement. Prabhupada called it the incarnation of book distribution. So now he's become one of the incarnations of offensiveness. He can write such things. So you may think, well, he's just an ordinary person. He was a grihastha all those years, and he didn't really hear very much, and he didn't really absorb the philosophy very deeply, and he can't really teach us very properly. Such things are being said. That is a misunderstanding. You have to understand who is the representative of Krishna and surrender. And if we think that the acharya, especially the acharya of the whole world, is an ordinary person, then Krishna is not pleased. Acharya mam vijani am nagamamyeta karhichit namartya buddhyasu yeta sarvadeva mayo guru. Krishna says that one should think of the acharya as non-different from me and never disrespect him in any way. You should never think him an ordinary person. You should understand that he is the representative of all the demigods. Krishna spoke this verse, this is in Srimad Bhagavatam. He spoke this verse when he was speaking about the duties of brahmacharis. He spoke about the different orders of life. So this is talking about not particularly ISKCON brahmacharis, but talking about brahmacharis in the Vedic culture, Vedic age, who would go and live in the forest, or not necessarily in the forest, but they would be living with a brahmana, generally a grihastha, who would be living with his wife and children. Gurukul, the brahmanas would teach in the gurukul. It was like Krishna, he studied in the gurukul. His guru was Sandipani Muni. He was not a sannyasi. He was a brahmana grihastha. So he was living at home with his wife and children. So naturally you'll see he has family affection. You'll be seeing his wife and children and speaking. Even in the home, there may be sometimes some disturbance, disagreement, whatever, like that. But the brahmachari is enjoined. You see guru as representative of God, of myself, Krishna says. You don't see him as an ordinary person. Even though he may appear to be ordinary in so many ways. So why is that? Doesn't seem to be reason. That is a Vedic injunction. That should be followed. Not that. I used to think my guru was good, but look at him, this, that, and the other. And make some excuse. And then what happens, because this is the Vedic law, if you follow, you get the result. If you don't follow, you also get the result in the opposite way. Then you fall down from spiritual level. You may say, well, you know, I'm so intelligent, and I'm more intelligent than my guru. He doesn't really know how to guide. Then you fall. You fall away. You may think, well, I'm following very nicely, and you fall away. Krishna is not pleased. So all these things have to be understood. Why? Here. This Krishna, he's speaking. Is it not Krishna speaking this? Yes, this is Krishna speaking. So Krishna himself is quoting Shastra. He's in his Leela as an ordinary person. He's quoting Shastra. In Gita also, we find Krishna, he himself is speaking the topmost Shastra. But he also quotes Shastra, Brahma Sutra Padesh Chaiva. He quotes that this is also stated in the Brahma Sutra, in all the, and in all the Vedic literatures, this knowledge. So he also quotes, just to show how much importance we have to give to the Vedic injunctions. That cannot be transgressed without falling down from our position. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Regarding the progress of the Vedic worship, how is it that regard the standard of the Vedic worship by Buddhist Rashtra was particularly he said that Arjas got the basics from Gaurima and was not really into the
whole. Where did you hear this?
In Vrindavan, VIH, last year was a very
good. Who told you that?
There were actually people discussing that. There was Stuka Raman and Mukunda Dastra and a few others.
And who was Prabhupada supposed to have said this to?
Some disciples.
Who? What's the difference? I don't know what the standards are properly. Of course Prabhupada knows what the standards are. What nonsense! Prabhupada taught the whole world the standards for deity worship.
But is that standard to be improved because of the basic standards given to the devotees? Because they were not very expert in deity worship. And the standard has been improved back in the DVC or so. That's what I was told. From what Prabhupada gave.
Really?
He said that deity worship standards go up more and higher and more.
It'd be very interesting to get all these quotes. Who has actually said this? Some devotee. Prabhupada said it to some devotee. It's not at all authoritative. It's called hearsay. Once it was said that Prabhupada had said that the whole world will become so disturbed and demoniac that we can no longer distribute books. So Prabhupada, this came to Prabhupada's attention. Prabhupada wrote a letter and said, who is that rascal said that in my name? He said, rather our book distribution will increase. No. He said, someone was saying our book distribution will stop because the world is becoming more demoniac. The first Sankirtan meeting I was ever in, the GBC convinced all the devotees that England's too demoniac and we can't distribute books here, so we only have to sell records of him singing. He is no longer following the principles of religion. No, I didn't say blindly. I didn't say that you can't consult the guru and ask for clarification. That we find, also, they still didn't put oil there. Hare Krishna, please. Abhi, or mandir me, sadram baat nahi karna. Darshan mandir. Where were we? What was I saying?
You're saying that, you didn't say that.
Yeah, the Gita, Arjuna is always expressing his doubts. Krishna is clearing them. And at the end, Krishna says, are you now free from illusion? Have you understood? He was ready to explain the whole thing again. He spoke strongly to Arjuna. He called him a fool and a rascal, but he explained everything. He told him, if you follow me, then everything will be nice for you. And if you don't, then you'll be in trouble. Having said that, he said, now, are you free from doubt? Are you ready to act on what I'm saying? So inquiry is encouraged. But then again, not foolish, and one should be intelligent enough to inquire. How to inquire properly.
You never know what ecstasy the Lord is, who are so much, who seems to be so much red, so much interested in philosophy. Sometimes it seems that, many times it seems that, even they are not following the basic things of attending Mangalarati.
Yes, so then what's the use?
But it seems that they were big philosophers. It seems that they were big philosophers.
Philosophy is one thing, but that we have to practice in our life.
Yes.
That's why
they are not really.
That's why that Acharya means who not only knows philosophy theoretically but practices in his life and teaches by his very life. Example is better than precept. That is an English saying. Can you understand what this means? Precept means instruction. Better than giving instruction is to show by your personal example.
Also, sometimes what Shastra exactly says, in everyday life, in the sense that it's Shastra gives instruction that this person should, a guru should be like this. Sometimes when you see the guru, he will not be like this.
There are generalizations about what a guru should be, but he's not a robot. It's not produced on a factory from a production line.
No, but these
are general. There are general characteristics, but then everyone is individual within them. It's not stereotyped. Basic characteristics are that he is Shrutriyam Brahmanishtam. He's heard from proper guru himself and is fixed in them. Those are the basic characteristics. And there are so many others. It's not that everyone's going to be exactly the same in every way. Prabhupada was a guru. Prabhupada's favorite food was kachoris. So this person's favorite food is not kachoris. Therefore, he's not a guru.
No, that's not mentioned in Shastra about food. I mean, likeness of what kind of food.
Then?
The qualifications mentioned. Two pages of qualifications.
There are many, yes.
Guru must smell like this, and disciple must be like this.
And if some of the things there, guru should not have a diseased body and so many things. These are actually external considerations. Everything in Hari Bhakti Vilas is not on the spiritual platform. Mm-hmm. Many of the things are taken from sadharan smriti, from ordinary Vedic rules, which have nothing to do with spiritual life. And that was compiled at that time in deference to the very strong smarta community. But those are not... that's why, again, Rupa Goswami made the Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, in which he writes that his elder brother Sanatana Goswami has compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas with many details, and he, in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, has selected only the important detail, the important points, 64 points. And other things, although Hari Bhakti Vilas is accepted as Vaishnava scripture, but the essence of that has been distilled in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. So many things are there. You should. Hari Bhakti Vilas says that also that you should accept Guru is Brahmana. But then again, he says, who is Brahmana? Anyone can be Brahmana by Diksha, by the process of Pancharatri Diksha. So it qualifies them. And if you say, well, it should be someone born in a Brahmin family. But Hari Bhakti Vilas doesn't say that. Now again, we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time, he was also recommending that you had better take, if there are two people equally qualified, you'd better take initiation from someone who's born in a Brahmana family. But that's a social consideration. Just like Haridas Thakur didn't enter the Jagannath temple. Not for any spiritual reason, but social consideration. Vaishnavas don't unnecessarily get entangled with so many different social matters. Just like you could say that, we don't have to follow the rules of the state. we're under Krishna. That's also true. But generally we do, because why should we create some disturbance? Why should we unnecessarily get entangled in social disturbances? Yeah, so the Vaishnava path is focused on this, the rules and regulations. That also, Rupa Goswami mentioned, that the rules, what is that, lokaki, vaidiki, chayan, ordinary social conventions and Vedic injunctions, they should be followed inasmuch as they are conducive to devotional service, otherwise not. Many of them may not be. Many of them are on the mundane platform. Many of the rules and regulations. Many of the Vedic rules and regulations. Many of the things are not conducive, just like if you had to do this Sandhya Vandana as was previously done, then there's so you have to spend at least half an hour doing so many different rituals and so many different things. Why are they doing this? That's to lock out subtle influences. We chant Hare Krishna, so that's automatically taken care of. So everything has to be understood. Bhagavad Gita sab shastron ka saar
hai. Bhagavad Gita sab shastron ka saar hai. So Vyasa ji ne alag alag shastra kyun likhe?
Kyunki sab सारग्राही नहीं है. सारग्राही का क्या मतलब है जानते हैं? सारग्राही जो सा ग्रहण करते हैं, सारग्राही कहलाते हैं. तो दूसरे दूसरे प्रकार व्यक्ति हो तो सब तैयार नहीं है, सब के चेतन इतना शुद्ध नहीं है कि सार को समझ सकते. तो इसलिए दूसरे दूसरे स्तर के लोगों के उद्धार करने के लिए, धीरे धीरे उद्धार करने के लिए व्यासदेव ने दूसरे दूसरे प्रकार शास्त्र लिखे. जैसे कि लोगों की पहले श्रद्धा होगी शास्त्र में, तो जैसे कि काम कर्म में ऐसा है तो आगे ऐसा व्रत पालन करना है तो बाद में स्वर्गवास प्राप्त होते हैं. तो मूर्ख लोग ये क्या बोलते हैं, पुष्प गीता में एक भगवान क्या पुष्पितम वाचम, जो ऐसा विधि मूर्ख लोगों ऐसा विधियों से आकृष्ट होते हैं, सोचते हैं कि अगर ऐसा करना है हम बाद में भोग करेंगे. लेकिन शास्त्र विधि पालन करने से एक बात है कि उनके जीवन नियमित होगा, ज्यादा पाप नहीं करेंगे. दूसरी बात है शास्त्र को विश्वास करने से संभव हो कि भगवान के भक्तों से शास्त्र का वास्तविक अर्थ सुन के भगवत भक्ति और वो सा ग्रहण कर सकेंगे. तो इसलिए लोगों के धीरे धीरे उद्धार करने के लिए शिप्रा ने क्या शिप्रा ने और ऋग्वेद में एक जगह में अग्नि को, दूसरे जगह में इंद्र को, तो ऐसे है. ऐसे क्यों? जैसे कि गीता में भगवान करते यम यम, वो क्या श्लोक है? वो क्या श्लोक है देवताओं के बारे में? यो यो तम 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 भक्त श्रद्धयाचित इच्छति तम तम तस्य तस्याचलम श्रद्धम ददामि विदितं. तस्य तस्याचलम श्रद्धम तमेव विदधात्यहम तदेव विदधाम्यहम. भगवान कहते हैं कि अगर कोई एक देवता में विश्वास करते हैं तो वो श्रद्धा में आचार करता हूं, निर्देश करता हूं। तो जैसे कि लोगों एक राष्ट्र में स्थिर हो गए और धीरे धीरे उनके उद्धार हो सकते, क्योंकि ज्यादा लोग मूर्ख है तो उनकी ऐसे लोगों की दृष्टि से शंकर भगवान है, तो कैसे शंकर जी दुर्गा के पति है और भौतिकवादी हमको वो जड़ प्रकृति को विश्वास करते हैं और भगवान श्री कृष्ण अप्राकृत है, वो जड़ प्रकृति से अतीत है। तो मूर्ख लोगों को हम समझ नहीं सकते तो कैसे इस जड़ प्रकृति के अतीत जो जो है नहीं समझ सकते। तो ऐसे लोगों की दृष्टि से शंकर जी भगवान है, सर्वोपरि है, क्योंकि ऐसे लोगों की दृष्टि खाली प्रकृति तक पूछते हैं। तो प्रकृति के अतिक्रम होने से हम भगवान श्री कृष्ण की सर्वश्रेष्ठता मालूम सकते हैं। तो ऐसे लोगों की दृष्टि में शंकर जी भगवान है। जैसे कि एक कहानी है कि एक गांव वाली नारी थी, तो ऐसा पूर्व काल में नारी आम तो गांव के बाहर कभी भी नहीं जाती थी, और गांव के मतलब तीर्थ यात्रा में, लेकिन ज्यादा समय गांव के बाहर नहीं, मतलब ज्यादा समय अपना मकान में रहते थे। तो एक महिला थी, तो वे सोची कि ब्रह्मांड में सबसे बड़ा व्यक्ति हमारे गांव के सरपंच, क्योंकि नहीं जानता था कि गांव के बाहर सिटी है और डीसी ऑफ पुलिस भी है और राष्ट्र गुजरात के प्रधान चीफ मिनिस्टर है, प्रधानमंत्री है, और देश भारत के प्रधानमंत्री है, मुख्यमंत्री और प्रधानमंत्री, तो नहीं जानते थे। उसने सोची कि सबसे बड़ा व्यक्ति ये गांव के सरपंच, क्योंकि ज्ञान कम इसलिए। तो इसलिए भगवान कहते हैं कि जो देवी देवियों की पूजा की कम बुद्धि है, अंतवत् सुपलंते शंखन भवत् त्यल्पमेव सम। तो ऐसे लोगों के लिए ऐसे लिखने हैं, लेकिन आगा सभी शास्त्रों का विचार करना है, विश्लेषण करना है। तो यही सिद्धांत बोलते हैं कि श्री कृष्ण सर्वोपरि सर्वश्रेष्ठ परमेश्वर भगवान है। हम स्वयं ऐसा विश्लेषण नहीं कर सकते, आचार्य हम करते हैं, इसलिए हम खाली श्रीमद् भागवत का श्लोक नहीं पढ़ते, हम आचार्यों की टीका के साथ पढ़ते हैं। से शास्त्र आचार्यों के द्वारा अध्ययन करना चाहिए। हरे कृष्ण।